All right, so please excuse the cliche, stereotypical cliche I'm going to give as an example to start this homily. But let's just imagine that you have two husbands. One is married maybe just a couple months, and the other is married maybe 50-some years. And let's say they both encounter the same dilemma here. They want to go out, but their wives would rather have them stay at home and spend the evening together. And both wives might give the same response. Go ahead. I don't care. Go out and have a good time. Now, the one husband who is married for a year might say, okay, and go out and do it. We know that he'll be in big trouble when he gets home. The one married 50 years might be a little bit more wiser. And he might stay home and say, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea to go out. Both have seen the exact same thing. Both have the same facts. But the difference is in how they interpreted the facts. That's the key that I want to bring out here this afternoon. How do we interpret the facts? Today's gospel, we have two disciples walking away from Jerusalem towards a mysterious city called Emmaus. Not Emmaus, Pennsylvania, okay, Emmaus somewhere in Israel, which scholars don't even know where it is. 7 miles away. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking in the wrong direction. They should be in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is also the place of the cross. So if you remember the gospel last week, what were the disciples doing after the resurrection? They were locking themselves in a hidden room. They were afraid. And I can only imagine that these two disciples are also afraid. That's why they're walking away from the cross, from Jerusalem, and heading to what they believe is a place of safety. And notice how does Jesus respond. He walks along with them. They're walking in their own direction, and yet God decides to walk along with them in the wrong direction. And he does so with us too. The Christian spirituality is not about us finding God. It's about God finding us. Very important, because you don't hear that today. You hear everything, oh, I found God, I'm searching for God. No. The incarnation tells us that God is on a search for us. He is the shepherd, as we'll hear next week, finding his lost sheep. So Jesus walks along with these two disciples and asks the question, where are you going and what has happened? And they stop. And they start to give Jesus the facts. There was this man named Jesus the Nazarene. And we thought he was the one, the Messiah. But then he was handed over and they crucified him. But yet, these women have said that he has risen. And that there's an empty tomb. And that we checked and saw with our own eyes the empty tomb. But we haven't seen them yet. Those are the facts. But they miss the interpretation. They were supposed to stay in Jerusalem in the place of the cross. What does Jesus say about the cross? He says, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your sufferings and follow me. They, which I think like us, we like to avoid suffering. At the moment suffering comes, we run in the wrong direction. So Jesus gives them the interpretation. that he, the Son of Man, had to suffer so that he can enter into his glory. Why does he enter into his glory? Because it manifests the great love of God for us. The cross is a place of sacrifice, and love requires sacrifice. It's the greatest expression of love that God can show us, that he's willing to lay down his life for us. And as a disciple, who are called to take up our own crosses and follow him in Jerusalem, we're called to also unite our sufferings and make it an offering along with Jesus to the Father. The passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the interpretive key for not only his suffering, but also our suffering as well. The passion, death, and resurrection gives meaning and gives us some sort of a glimmer of hope for the sufferings we encounter in our lives. That the story is not ending with pain and suffering, but with the glorification of God. And it's no accident that this passage, through which they were called to go from Emmaus to Jerusalem, to the place of the cross, that it ends with the breaking of the bread. It says that Jesus takes bread, says the blessing, breaks it, and then gives it to the disciples, and then they finally recognized him. The Mass is the presentation of the offering of Jesus to the Father right in front of our eyes. The Mass makes present his sacrifice that he did on Good Friday. He makes it present to us here at St. Mary's Church in 2017. We see with our own eyes and then receive the offering of Jesus to the Father. And we're called to take up our crosses and our offering. And how do we unite it to God? To that of Jesus Christ? At the Eucharistic table. Not only is it an offering of Jesus to the Father, but as members of his body, we join in that one offering of Christ to the Father. We do it for thanksgiving, and we do it to unite our sufferings with him. It's a great gift that Jesus gives us. And so when we fear ourselves walking in the wrong direction in life, it's usually because we're avoiding suffering. And sometimes we have to face suffering head on and treat it as a gift, as an offering to the Father. It's the only way in which suffering can have some sort of redemptive meaning to it. May God bless you.